we have an issue where law enforcement is accessing school grades and then doing visits to individuals' homes based on those grades. I want to make sure that parents consent to those grades being released.
This is Senator Jeff Brandis in Tallahassee talking about a parental rights bill that is working its way through the legislature. And the this part of it is, it's I don't understand this part of it because I didn't know this was a thing. But basically, part of the bill has to do with restricting the police from being able to access any of the academic records or school records of a student without prior parental permission. So joining us now, we have Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the program. I've never heard of this happening before. Jeff Brandis seems to think that it's a problem that needs restriction. Is that something that you guys would ever do? Under what circumstances would that be done? Can you shed some light on this at all?
No, that's news to me. I don't believe any Pensacola police officer has ever been interested in a student's grades based on any kind of investigation that he or she may be conducting in the school. The officers are not there to give discipline or do anything else like that. They are there to keep the kids safe. And to enforce any laws that may be broken inside the school or on their property.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I'm like, if this is an SRO thing, like the SROs are not there to conduct investigations. The SROs are there to keep the kids safe, which, of course, came up in the CPAC meeting. But anyway, I'd never heard of it. I was curious if you could shed some light, and it sounds like you're as baffled by it as I am, which is fine, perfectly fine. Before we get into other kind of legislative and issues of the like, I wanted to ask you, is there anything that's happened in the last day or two law enforcement-wise that we don't already know about?
No, it's been kind of quiet. The death investigation of the homicide up on Highland is still under investigation as far as the cause of death goes. So the investigators are still working on that, but it's been relatively quiet since then.
All right, very good. Well, that's always my favorite news from the cops is no news. That's good stuff. So turning now to some of the sort of news items that we've been talking about this morning a little bit that are related to it. It seems like there's a lot of cop-related kind of news right now. One is, as you know, the House last night passed a version of a bill. It's named in honor of George Floyd, and it's basically meant to put in, it's called the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. And it puts in a bunch of things like banning chokeholds, requiring the tracking of police encounters, banning no-knock warrants. When I read this bill, or the description of it anyway, my thought was, okay, PPD already does all of this as far as I can tell. Is there any part, do you have any reaction to this bill as it's working its way through?
Yeah, once again, that's not going to affect us at all. We've already done all that or not doing any of that. We don't do the chokeholds and no-knock warrants, so we're ahead of that as well. So I don't see it affecting the Pensacola Police Department at all.
And for people who don't know, I know you and I have probably talked about this a bunch, but for people who don't know, for years the PPD has tracked race and demographic data in stops, and you pay a lot of attention to that for quite some time, right?
Yeah, we keep track of traffic stops. Stops that we make, citizens on foot, we keep track of everything that we do. The officers, it's what's called coding out the call, and they give a series of numbers and letters after they get done with that call, and that's a record that tells what he was doing, he or she was doing, why that individual was stopped or why that individual was pulled over, and what happened. Was it a warning? Was it a trespass warning? Was it a ticket? Was it an arrest? All of that information is readily available.
I did want to ask you, because we've been talking about the Citizens Police Advisory Committee the last couple of days since their meeting on Tuesday, a couple of questions that came up. I think I've already sort of answered them, but it's always better to hear it from the official. Gina Castro, who, as you know, is one of the newer members, and she's very active in the meetings, and that's fine. I like that. But she had two questions. They were specifically related to the Tamar Crawford incident, and obviously I know you may not have full liberty to comment on that case in particular, understandably, if so. But the principle of the questions, there were two of them that I thought might be worth answering. One is, she was objecting to a person having been shot multiple times, then getting handcuffed. She thought that was inappropriate. What would be your answer or explanation of that practice?
Well, you're right. I'm not going to comment on that case specifically, but I can tell you that officers have been trained, if it's one-on-one, to if they have to shoot a suspect, to handcuff them while they get a chance to search them to make sure that they're not holding weapons, because people who have been shot, especially ones that are high on narcotics, sometimes are are still able to harm the officer. And then the officer has the discretion afterwards if he wants to unhandcuff that person so the EMS can take care of them. That's up to him. But so, yeah, I mean, you know, she's got some questions. And she prefaced one of them as being a dumb question, and there's no such thing as a dumb question if you don't know, and we want her to learn. And so, you know, we invite her, just like everybody else, on the CPAC to come spend time with us, come ride with us, and you'll get a ton of your questions answered by simply doing that.
Yeah, there's nothing like experience, right? In both directions, there's nothing like experience. And as you say, you know, cops have been hurt by people. This is the reason policies exist, but cops have been hurt by people who had been shot or people who they thought had been subdued that are still dangerous even thereafter, right?
Yeah, that's true. And every situation is different. You right. have to evaluate every situation. And so, yeah, you can't have one standard rule for each shooting or each confrontation.
The other question that she asked, and again, I kind of talked about this a half hour ago, but I wanted to get your sort of official answer to it. The question was, well, a taser is not going to kill anybody. So if all he had possession of was a taser, and again, I know you can't comment on that case, but in general, why would, you know, what is the appropriate response from the police if you grab a non-lethal weapon like a taser?
Well, an officer can be, if a taser is used against an officer to incapacitate him, then his weapon can be taken. And you got to remember that every single fight that a police officer gets into, a gun is involved because he brings that. And he has to keep that in mind, that his weapon, and many have been used against the officer. He's been shot by his own weapon. So we train for that sort of thing. Again, every situation is different.
Yeah, and I tend to think of the heat of the situation is also. It's. I mean, you train for those situations, but there are still a lot of unknowns when it's actually happening. Very good. We're talking to Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, a lot of times we like to end with a myth or a misconception or an urban legend about policing. If you don't have one for me, I have one. But do you have one for me today?
Well, let's hear yours. I've
got
one, but you piqued my interest.
So I'm bummed out because I failed to grab the actual audio clip. But I was watching The Equalizer, the new Queen Latifah show, which is actually pretty good, surprisingly good. I was expecting it to be terrible, and it's actually very good. But in the show, there's one episode just recently where this guy is wanted by the police for having escaped after a murder. So he's believed, even though he's innocent, but he's believed to be. She says, "They think you're armed and dangerous. If they find you, they'll shoot to kill." So, first of all, is there any alternative to shoot to kill? You know, is there some time where you shoot not to kill? That's number one. But number two, do you have shoot to kill instructions for anybody in any circumstances, even if they are alleged to have been involved in a violent crime?
No. That's not how it works. A person can, and we get BOLOs all the time, which is a be on the lookout for somebody that's armed and dangerous. We see that quite often, but that doesn't mean when you encounter that person that you shoot to kill them. That's totally false. That just lets you know that we have reason to believe that they are armed and could be dangerous, and we will handle the situation appropriately once we confront that individual.
In other words, you guys are not out there as you're there to apprehend people, period. If there's a circumstance where you have to use lethal force, then you will, but your job is always to bring them in so they can go through the process of the courts, right?
Yeah, you know, 90% of the time we make the arrest of a person that's armed and dangerous, nothing happens. They give up. It's just a normal arrest. So just because they're armed and dangerous, A, does not mean they're going to fight or shoot at us, and B, it certainly doesn't mean that we're going to shoot them just to apprehend them. That's a myth.
Well, I figured you would appreciate being able to debunk that one, and that's why I brought it up. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for PPD. Mike, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for what you do, and we appreciate the time, sir.
Thank you.